Blog Talk Radio. Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, this is Jason Brodsky with Smoke News Radio. Cannabis news and politics, international, and some lore. Let's start out here with the good classic, Dank Magic, How Witches Use Weed in Their Craft. Happy 420. For millennia, witches have been getting high to access the spirit realm or have orgies with the devil. For most people, the quintessential image of a witch is a figure in silhouette, perched on a broomstick and flying in front of the moon. I don't know about you, but the closest I've come to feeling like I'm flying across the moon has been when I'm stoned out of my mind. As it turns out, this may not be a total coincidence. The history of magic and witchcraft is full of orgies, drinking, and entheogens, all used as a way to achieve a magical, transitional state of mind, one where your body may still be in the physical realm, but the spirit is elsewhere, free to roam beneath the worlds. One of the oldest and most notable examples of using altered states in magic is the Oracle of Delphi. For centuries, ancient priestesses of the Greek god Apollo, stationed at the temple built around a sacred spring at Delphi, would divine the future for visitors from all over the ancient world. So significant was their influence that kings would generally consult with them about whether they should go to war. It was understood that Apollo's spirit would enter each priestess, enabling her to see the future according to uses and abuses of plant-derived smoke, an ethnobotanical compendium on a tripod above a hole through which vapors arose, and those vapors were thought to induce her visions. Quick side note, I thought that was a book on Amazon. I was like, gonna grab a pen. Through many researchers, believe the vapors contained a variety of potentially toxic natural gases emanating from the ground. Some hypothesize that hallucinogenic plants were burned beneath the temple and vented up towards the smoke-shrouded seer, or that the priestess would smoke or eat hallucinogens in addition to inhaling the fumes from the earth. While many scholars theorize the oracle burned bay leaves since they were sacred to Apollo, others have taken it a step further. Dr. D.C.A. Hillman, a bacteriologist and classicist who has written about drug use in the ancient world, argues that there is evidence of cannabis was traditionally burned to induce the oracle's trance state, since bay leaves are not known to have psychoactive properties. And marijuana was already introduced to Greece from Central Asian tribes who knew of the herb's potent psychotropic powers. The Oracle of Delphi was far from the only ancient magic practitioner to utilize marijuana in her craft. As noted in Uses and Abuses of Plant-Derived Smoke, quote, members of the Gadi tribe of India's Himachal Pradesh state in the western Himalayas, for example, smoked the resin of female cannabis plants called sopa for the hallucinogens it induced. Shamans and nobles from China to Russia have also been buried with marijuana plants, denoting its sacred role. There isn't much evidence that marijuana was used widely during the Middle Ages in Europe, other than the fact that Pope Innocent III explicitly banned it, but European witches still found ways to get high. During this period, they would rub entheogens such as belladonna, henbane, datura, and mandrake on their bodies. Some theorize they rubbed these substances on the broomsticks and inserted them vaginally in order to loosen their spirits from their physical form. In the resulting hallucinogens, witches were said to fly to the Sabbath, the supposed time each month when witches, demons, and evil, the devil himself, would come together to share magical secrets, sign evil pacts, and have wild, organistic parties. It's likely that the use of these herbs in a ritual context points back to ancient cults like the Oracle of Delphi and are one of the clearest links to witchcraft's primordial past. As witch historian, the teacher at Colorado State University, Chas Clifton, writes in the famous essay, If Witches No Longer Fly, quoted, I would argue that the danger of these recipes, combined with the centuries-long tradition of their use, is the best argument for any old religion serving from pre-Christian times. Without some sort of oral tradition or preparation and dosage similar to that of the ayahuasca shamans of South America, the risks would be too great, quote. The danger he cites is real. Modern witches and non-magical people alike have been sent to the hospital or have even died, as in the case of the English witch Robert Cochrane from taking too much belladonna and other witchcraft-related herbs. Magical publishing in the last 30 years has been significantly hamstrung by the way psychedelics have been used as geopolitical footballs. So why is the herbal magic, the use of weed most notably, but also other hallucinogens, less prevalent in modern witchcraft? After all, the occult revival of the 19th century revolved around absinthe and opium dens. And the second big occult revival happened during the drug-crazed days of the 1960s and 70s. It seems like magic and getting high go pretty hand in hand. One obvious answer is because marijuana is still illegal, even for medicinal use. In many states and countries, this makes it nearly impossible for occult book publishers to let authors recommend using weed as a method to achieve trance states and soul flight, even if that is their preferred method. As Gordon White laments in The Chaos Protocols, quote, magical publishing in the last 30 years has been significantly hamstrung by the way psychedelics have been used as geopolitical footballs. As an author, I cannot legally advocate a reader break any laws, and publishers can, in theory, be held liable for damages arising from actions taken as described in their books. Still, modern witches are continuing to use marijuana in their practices, most often in the solitary meditation or to help them access the spirit realm. Elizabeth de Corset, owner of Antidote Apothecary and Tea Bar in Brooklyn, New York, says she typically uses weed as a meditative aid. Quote, when I want to thin the veil and access ancient knowledge and the collective consciousness of water, the total and deeper and cellular calm I can achieve with an edible in deep trance is pretty profound, quote, she tells broadly. There's a reason weed has historical ties to magic. Having a safe, reliable way to enter altered states of consciousness can be an amazing tool in witchcraft. Melissa Madera, a witch and co-owner of Catlin Books in Brooklyn, New York, uses weed to help focus during meditation and to stop, quote, questioning what she sees, quote, during spiritual contact. She recommends using this simple visualization as a good place to start. You should lie on your back, focus on your deep breathing, and push your mind's eye deep, deep into your body. She says, each new breath brings in fresh air, white light, and healing energy. And each exhale expels tension, old emotions, and stress from the body. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. From next, from MLive.com, ballot initiative would legalize psychedelic mushrooms in Michigan. Shrooms may help treat depression. Activists in Michigan are launching a ballot initiative that would legalize using, growing, and possessing psychedelic plants. The proposal would decriminalize personal use, possession, and growth of psychoactive substances for adults 18 and reduce penalties for all controlled substance use and possession in Michigan. The initiative would allow religious organizations and entities designated by hospitals certified by the state Health Department to produce and sell ethnogenic plants and mushrooms. Quote, we are thrilled to have filled our language with the state of Michigan, and we look forward to approval by the State Board of Canvassers and hitting the ground with petitions. Decriminalize Nature Michigan co-founder Mike Williams quoted, before the committee can start collecting signatures from registered voters, oh boy. Starting at the local level with decriminalization before launching a statewide ballot proposal is a political road similar to the one marijuana drove to commercial legalization. However, Decriminalize Nature Michigan doesn't want the same corporate takeover that's occurred in Michigan's multi-billion dollar marijuana industry. Quote, we really want to avoid the medical model. Quote, Williams said in November, medical models are not equitable and not accessible, so we're really focusing on the spiritual and ancestral applications of these plants rather than the medical application, as has happened with cannabis. All right, someone throw them a few million dollars. Get that ballot going. Smoke News Radio from the Roots of California Cannabis Hemp Initiative 2016. Right here, let's go. From IFLScience.com, what happens when you mix cannabis with psychedelics? Getting high has once seen as an act of deviance or cultural defiance. Yet now, thanks to a shift in attitudes toward drugs, it's science. This means that researchers have finally been given the green light to investigate the effects of mind-altering substances, leading to new data regarding the consequences of mixing cannabis with psychedelic drugs like LSD, magic mushrooms, or ayahuasca. Presenting their work in the journal Psychopharmacology, the study authors reveal that pot enhances the mystical experiences occasioned by serotonergic psychedelics, like serotonin, I guess. A class of drug that interferes with the consciousness by acting, upon serotonin receptors in the brain. Quote, we found evidence of more intense mystical type ego disillusion and visual experiences in conjunction with cannabis use. They write, adding that this effect is directly proportional to the amount of weed that is consumed. To conduct their research, the authors surveyed 321 people about their use of psychedelics. Of these, 39% claimed to have ingested cannabis at the same time as a serotonergic psychedelic, with the overwhelmingly majority using either LSD or psilocybin. Serotonergic. Using a serotonergic psychedelic. Oh my God, these words. Like, put some dashes in it. Help me with this thing. Results also indicated that smoking weed influences the likelihood of experiencing a bad trip, which the authors describe as a challenging experience. Interestingly, though, the data revealed that low doses of cannabis tend to reduce the chances of suffering such an uncomfortable psychedelic escapade, while high doses increase the likelihood. This was especially true for particular elements of these challenging trips. For example, people who mix their psychedelics with low doses of cannabis tended to obtain lower scores on both the fear and insanity subscales than those who use no pot at all. However, the use of high doses of cannabis appeared to enhance both of these unpleasant aspects. According to authors, this may be evidence for the contradictory effects of cannabis, with low doses helping to relieve psychological anguish, while higher doses enhance this mental turmoil. Additionally, it must be noted that different strains of cannabis contain different amounts of key cannabinoids such as CBD and THC, given that the researchers did not analyze the chemical composition of the cannabis used by each participant. It's hard to draw any firm conclusions from this data. Regardless, they go on to explain that the apparent ability of cannabis to enhance psychedelic experiences, quote, may be because cannabis itself induces subjective effects that are similar to some of the effects of psychedelics, such as euphoria, changes in perception of time, intensification of sensory perception, and hyper-associative thinking. Furthermore, despite the fact that THC primarily acts upon cannabinoid receptors, the author point to other studies which have been indicated that the compound may interact with serotonin receptors, thereby interfering with the activity of psychedelics. Summing up, the researchers explain that their findings may have important implications for therapeutic use of psychedelics, as, quote, some of the therapeutically desirable psychological effects associated with psychedelics may, in theory, be enhanced by concomitant cannabis use. When the stories need a thesaurus at the end, what's concomitant? I mean, this is, you can't go beyond like a 10th grade reading level on anything. You gotta read out loud, okay. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, episode 119 from the, boom, boo, what are we doing on time? 10, 12, okay. From the magicvalley.com. Marijuana legislation announced by Maryland House leadership. Lawmakers on Thursday introduced a measure to legalize recreational marijuana for adults that supporters say would put the state of Maryland on path for an equitable cannabis industry if voters approve it in November. The bill would create an implementation plan based on the findings of the House Cannabis Referendum Workgroup, House Speaker Adriana Jones announced in a news release, quoted, "While I feel strongly that the voters should decide on the issue, it is the General Assembly that is charged with making sure we have a legally defensible, equity-driven plan in place should they choose legalization." Quotes Jones of Baltimore County. "A bill sets out to address criminal justice and public health issues while also building a foundation for social equity in the industry," the speaker's office said. Quoted, "Maryland's deserve to have their voices heard at the ballot box on the question of legalization, but we cannot move forward without an implementation plan that addresses our immediate priorities." Quotes Del Luke Clippinger of Baltimore, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee. Quote, "With this legislation, we will be prepared with the comprehensive policy that creates the best, most equitable path to legal recreational cannabis, should voters say yes. The bill would allow Marylanders to possess up to 1.5 ounces of recreational cannabis without penalty. Possession of over 1.5 ounces of cannabis and up to 2.5 ounces of cannabis would be reduced to a civil offense rather than a misdemeanor. The legislation would also automatically expunge the conviction of anyone previously found guilty of simple possession of marijuana if it was the only charge in the case. In addition, anyone currently held in a state prison or local jail for a cannabis conviction would be resentenced to end their term of incarceration. The bill also calls for a study to collect data on patterns of use, incidents of impaired driving, and the impact cannabis use has on public health. A disparity study would be conducted to create a more equitable regulatory system and identify barriers to entering the industry. The measure would also create a small, minority-owned and woman-owned cannabis business assistance fund to help people disproportionately affected by marijuana laws. The Maryland Senate also has been working on an approach to legalizing marijuana. Senator Will Smith, who chairs the Senate Judiciary Proceedings Committee, said the chamber has been working for months to develop an implementation framework. And, quote, "We will not send this to the referendum without having a clear idea as to what things look like in terms of actual regulatory framework. The regulatory framework has to be sussed out before we send it to the voters," quote Smith, the Montgomery County. Okay. Bum bunch, you're listening dun, 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 sh- to Smoke News Radio. Dun, 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 sh- dun, Cannabis Hemp News Politics International. Next, from wantedinrome.com. actress Ornella Muti sparks cannabis debate in Italy. Italian actress Ornella Muti on Tuesday clarified her position in the debate over cannabis use after sparking a controversy hours before she co-represented the first evening of the Sanremo Music Festival, Italy's top song contest. At a pre-festival conference, Muti said she supports the therapeutic use of cannabis, saying she found it sad that some people thought she would be handing out joints backstage at Sanremo. The controversy began early on Tuesday when the actress published a photograph on social media of herself with her daughter, Naike Riavi, both wearing jewelry with marijuana leaf designs. Muti also appeared in a video in which she receives a bouquet of flowers, including cannabis leaves, from Antonella Soldo of the pro-advocacy marijuana association Meglio Legge in her dressing room before the festival. The bouquet was sent by the committee promoting a cannabis referendum in Italy whose validity is currently being assessed by the country's constitutional court after weed advocates amassed 630,000 signatures in a petition to boost their campaign. Woohoo! Yeah! Muti and her daughter Naike were among the first to sign the petition, which they promoted actively. The prolonged illness of Muti's mother, who died in 2020, prompted the actress to launch the Ornella Multi-Hemp Club in Salento, an association that helps patients who need medical cannabis and offers information on the topic. Predictably, the photo and video published by Muti before Sanremo sparked an immediate backlash from Italian right-wing and conservative politicians. Quoted from Fratelli d'Italia, deputies Federico Moicon and Maria Teresa Bellucci, quote, "We recognize Ornella Muti as a great icon of Italian cinema, but we believe that the support for the liberalization of cannabis expressed in a post by the co-host of Sanremo is inappropriate." The politicians, whose party fiercely opposes the idea of cannabis referendum, said they do not want Sanremo to be used as, quote, a megaphone for the campaign, particularly in light of the recent events involving Ornella Muti's sister, Claudia, who was among 39 people arrested in October on suspicion of importing and distributing narcotics, including the date rape drug GHB. That's also the workout drug, but just don't mix it with alcohol. Anyhow, Molicon called for drug tests for conductors and singers at Sanremo, telling news agency Andre Kronos that if the COVID green pass is required, then a toxicology test should also be carried out to avoid deviant messages from reaching millions of viewers, including children. There was also criticism from the conservative former senator Carlo Giovanardi, who said, quote, "It is a very sad thing to see that space is given to those who promote this culture of death instead of those who fight it. To all those who are on the front line for this battle." In November, the FDI, the right-wing Lega, failed to sync the progress of the cannabis referendum after their motion was rejected by the centre-left Partido Democrático, the populist Movimiento 5 Stel, and the Liberal Plus Europa, while the centre-right Forza Italia, an ally for Hegel and FDI, abstained. In 2019, the Italian Supreme Court ruled that the domestic cultivation of small amounts of cannabis for personal use was legal. However, it remains illegal to sell or grow cannabis plants on a large scale. Marijuana has been permitted for medical purposes in Italy since 2007. Nice. You just got to be a farmer if you want to smoke herb. And that's good, kind of, you know. A lot of people need to learn how to grow. It's really wonderful having a garden. What are we doing? I think it's a show. Smoke News Radio 119 something. And next we have from escambray.cu. Cuban authorities ratify zero tolerance against drug trafficking. The Cuban state's fight against international drug trafficking led to the seizure of 4,000 kilograms of narcotics in 2021, said Colonel Hector Gonzalez Hernandez, deputy chief of the Anti-Drug Confrontation Division of the Technical Directorate of Investigations. Speaking on Friday in the radio television program Mesa Redonda, he pointed out that the primary expressions of the scourge occur through violations of territorial waters, packages that wash ashore, and postal shipments of Cuban citizens living abroad. Among the substances seized, marijuana predominates with 80%, in addition to cocaine, crack, and psychotropic drugs, he added. Last year, police authorities seized 31,000 cannabis plants and more than 41,000 seeds and dismantled criminal networks with links abroad. In 2021, custom authorities performed 21 operations in national airports and seized narcotics and other products, arresting 41 people, including Cubans and foreigners. For his part, Alexis Batista Segrera, head of the Department of International Law Section of the Ministry of Justice, explained that Cuba has ratified 3 international conventions that promulgate the principles of zero tolerance for drug trafficking. Cuba's a big place, and it's a beautiful place to grow herb. Beautiful place to grow herb. Smoke News Radio, episode 119, with your host, Jason Brodsky. Next, from incitecrime.org. Argentina redraws marijuana maps after massive seizure. A colossal seizure of more than 10,000 cannabis plants in the western provinces of Salta and Jujuy in Argentina provides evidence that marijuana growers are trying to spread the illicit crop to new parts of the country. In early February, security forces conducted a multi-pronged operation. Add a little background hum for a second. There you go. In early February, security forces... Oh, you got it, you got it. It's all you. All right, yes. This is broadcast from the jungle. So, it's like I need to try to get the fan. If it wants to work. These things do what they do when they do when they do them. Okay. Okay, come on. Fix computers. You can fix all electronics. Do everything. I can see clearly now. My priorities is not the fan anymore. Okay, next. According to the Argentine National Gendarmerie news release, the plantation located in a jungle area with the 10,000 seized cannabis plants and seeds and 2,500 seedlings located in a jungle area reportedly looking like a marijuana forest. 2 men were arrested and charged with planting and growing marijuana, but were not linked to a larger criminal group. This was the largest ever single discovery of marijuana in Argentina and comes amid record high seizures of drugs in the country. However, until now, the majority of drugs in the country came from Paraguay, a colossal marijuana producer. Eduardo Villalba, the federal prosecutor in charge of this marijuana investigation, told the newspaper El Tribuno that this sounds the alarm that planting, sowing, and cultivating has started in our country. Although marijuana crops have been discovered in Argentina in the past, the size of this plantation and its location far away from previous planting sites may signal that the country is shifting towards becoming a large-scale producer. Argentina has a well-deserved reputation as a high consumer of cocaine and marijuana, but until now, most of the marijuana distributed in large cities was sourced from Paraguay and smuggled through border provinces of Misiones and Corrientes. However, this may no longer be a safe way of doing business. Paraguay has led repeated operations against marijuana producers and more scrutiny at the triple border area, where Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay meet has seen a rise in drug seizures. Traffickers may now be looking for alternatives, and however, previous examples of experimental crops in Argentina have been much smaller and closer to the triple border area. This latest seizure was found in provinces that have a stronger association with cocaine trafficking because of its proximity to Bolivia. Additionally, the method employed by growers in Salta and Jujuy was very similar to that used by groups in Paraguay. They camouflaged their illicit crops amid larger tracts of land and under forest cover. It remains to be seen whether marijuana crops will become a mainstay in Argentina. But while the seizure remains an outlier, it may lead to more such discoveries in remoter parts of the country. All right, next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. From INC42.com, Indian Hemp Industry, Understanding the Legal Challenges and Market Opportunities. The legal reason we cannot mention CBD or THC on Ayurvedic packaging is because it is not recognized under Ayurveda. Uttarakhand has developed a policy under Section 14 of the NDPS Act in 1985, allowing industrial or horticulture cultivation of the hemp plant. Today, there is a clear market when it comes to textiles, food, and nutrition and cosmetics. All depends on where it's being placed and distributed at what price. Rules and regulations around CBD can be looked at in two different ways. One, any kind of proprietary medicine that is manufactured under the state Ayush regulation permits the manufacturing of both the compounds THC and CBD together. This is allowed due to Ayush laws only permitting whole leaf plant extracts under the full spectrum ambit. When you go into other form of isolation or remove any other form of broad spectrum, it tends to complicate CBD and falls out of the purview of Ayush regulations. The legal reason why we cannot mention CBD or THC on Ayurvedic packaging is because that is not recognized under Ayurveda. Secondly, CBN, a weaker version of THC, interprets CBD as an extract of the cannabis plant under 53 of the NDPS rules, which is also most important act in understanding legalities regarding CBD. Any brand or company today can import or export cannabis plant-based medicines under the narcotic license and manufacture the same license. This is the only legal way of using CBD as a part of any business. Manufacture the same undercover license? That's weird. That threw me off. Any other manner of selling and distribution of CBD tincture, the isolate, can make the same illegal. That can only happen under the Drugs and Cosmetics Act, the DCGI approval. Uttarakhand, as everyone is well versed with, has developed a policy under Section 14 of the NDPS Act, 1985, allowing industrial and horticulture cultivation of the hemp plant. Recently, most crucial regulation related to the facade that has come out in the open, facade, allowing Jason to have a sip of water. Allowing hemp seeds in food when it comes to the food safety authorities of India with Ayurveda, there is complete clarity of the law. Hemp is not a regulated crop. However, this recent development has allowed offline and online distribution, import, export, and everything to do with the hemp industry. It is available for business, manufacturing. And manufacturing of hemp as fiber does not have any regulation hindering it. And that is only because it is not because hemp seeds and fibers are not covered under the definition of cannabis under NDPS Act. Today, a lot of states are interested in its cultivation. However, Uttarakhand is the only state that can go ahead with it. Talking about how startups can benefit, one can make any kind of work in development with the seed, fiber, or stock. There are no restrictions or requirements of any license or permission to sell these or even market these. It is as basic as a regular food ingredient and as normal as any fabric available in the market. I strongly believe moving ahead, there will exist an activity department that will regulate the crop, allowing more concentration and plant promotion, making it more a field crop and a commercial crop. Today, there is a clear market when it comes to textiles, food, and nutrition, and cosmetics. It all depends on where it's being placed and distributed and at what price. Another important piece of information about CBD, full spectrum, and whole leaf extract is that selling and distribution has no restrictions in any form of Ayurveda. CBD must be clarified to the central government by the Ministry of Finance and other departments such as NCB and CBN, accepting that CBD is a non-narcotic. This has been mentioned in the facade document. Once it's made as an exemption under the NDPS Act, then anything to do with the manufacturing and development or even the import export can be performed on a legal tonality. Coming to the areas that are allowed to cultivate the crop, it is Uttarakhand for today. The state can cultivate the plant for research and development cultivation. Section 10 rules have been framed in Uttarakhand, UP, and J&K Research and Development Cannabis Cultivation. We are also in conversation with Himachal in regards to the cultivation license. There are 4 to 5 states in the pipeline. Along with those, we also have states like Goa, Karnataka, Orissa, Jharkhand, and so on. I like that Jharkhand. That's like J and S makes it shark hand. That's cool. All right, what we got going here? Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky from the BloombergQuint.com, South Africa looks to cannabis hemp industry to create jobs. South Africa will seek to harness a multi-billion dollar cannabis and hemp industry in a bid to create as many as 130,000 jobs and lure foreign investment as it grapples with record unemployment. Africa's most industrialized nation plans to streamline the regulatory processes so that the hemp and cannabis sector can thrive like it is in other countries such as Lesotho, President Cyril Ramaphosa said in his State of the Nation address to lawmakers in Cape Town on Thursday. Marijuana has grown increasingly popular as a recreational drug and medication, while its staid sister hemp is used in clothing, concrete blocks, and even car parts. The global medical cannabis market, worth $7.8 billion in 2020, is expected to expand a compound annual growth of 15% through 2026, according to research firm iMark Group. Ramaphosa's announcement comes almost 6 months after the Agriculture Department unveiled a national strategy for the industrialization and commercialization of the cannabis plant, which estimated the size of the local industry at 28 billion rand. That's about 1.9 billion. It envisioned encouraging the cultivation of hemp and marijuana and increasing the volumes and variety produced for local and export markets within an effective regulatory system. Hey, thank you guys. This is Smoke News Radio, your host, Jason Brodsky. Hope you guys have a beautiful night and a little Tonel with Flava to take you off into the beautiful evening. Thank you for listening.
90 seconds.
You know I love you, the way you hit my chest like a boom boom beat. You light up the room with your sweet taste. No one can take your place, how you smell so good. Don't misunderstand, but I know one day my papa will see the love we share. Yes, I need you to get me through the night. Wrap yourself around my heart, 60
seconds.
And make it so right. Oh, and no one can compare, cause and notice it, but I know one day 10 seconds will see the love you share so effortlessly. So I blow streets to get me to the night, wrap the smoke round me high and make it so right. Oh.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.